Right. We all on? Can you hear from the back? All right. Let's look at different sections of the book of Deuteronomy. And it's good to always go back and then reflect. And then the picture becomes a little bit clearer, a little bit more wisdom and understanding how to see all these things in perspective. Okay, we need, because in Deuteronomy, if we don't do this, if we don't have a correct perspective of the chapters, they're going to run into each other. So they all sound the same, all laws, statutes, judgments, commandments. No. There are lots and lots of different things which are going to be there understood. All right, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to understand and appreciate the challenge of your word given to us. We pray that you will help us to appreciate the depth of your word, its application as well. We pray for your blessings upon us as we read your word. Teach us how to appreciate the depth, the beauty, the kindness, the grace of God in all these things revealed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, chapter 1, 2, and 3. What is significant about these things here? History. Now, this is important for us to understand and appreciate. The history is never unimportant. And people say history puts me to sleep. That is a shame. When it comes to biblical history, we should really learn how to appreciate these things here. Because in history, we see the theology of God revealed. Now, this is important. Right? What is the theology of God revealed? We see this very, very clearly. So in chapter 1, we see how they came out. Very, very quickly, we go into chapter 1. They don't want to go into the land. All the problems were there. No, that was not the focus. There is it. So what is the important lesson about God? Chapter 1, verse 29. And then you see the significance of this, the theology of God revealed. The Lord your God who goes before you, verse 30, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt. Right? Now that's in verse 30. And in a wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. I memorized this text long ago. But it's so wonderful to be able to see in history, I see God doing what he did before. I see God lovingly as a father, provide, carrying, for as a man would carry his son. Right? And we see these things here. And then God searches a place for you to go so that you may pitch your tent. Now, if you have never pitched a tent, you don't understand the significance of this. You pitch a tent where is the wrong place to pitch? Well, you're being silly. Go and pitch, never mind, it's a good, wonderful place. It's a nest of ants down there. You're sunk. It's very soft material. Cannot pack in. No use. This is a flinty place. Hard. All the pegs break. No use. See, all these things are basic things that you want to remember. And that's what it is. So this is something that we want to appreciate. Right? So then the desert years came. And the Lord, in chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. In 40 years, these 40 years, you have lacked nothing. See, the Lord's provision, the Lord's love behind all these things here. Now, this was how it was. Chapters 2 and 3, the defeat of two powerful kings, Sihon and Og. Now, those two names must be remembered. Sihon, king of Hezbon, Og, king of Bashan, and they were defeated. Okay, now there was a little personal note. Moses never quite
was able to overcome. You know, because of you. And he was quite upset. You know. I pleaded with the Lord at that time. Okay? And the Lord says, stop. Was angry with me on your account. Oh, yeah, he's going to let them know. You would not listen to me. So the Lord said, enough of that. Speak no more of this. Ah, yeah, that one, of course, that's how human Moses really, really was. At 120, he's still raring to go. Some of us, less than half that age, raring to quit. You know, that is the difference. I really like his spirit that was there. Now, chapter 4 begins the commencement of taking a look at all the things that needed to be done. The statutes, the judgments which the Lord has to teach them to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land. They needed to understand there is no greater nation than the one where God is so near to it, as the Lord our God is to us. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Great nation, what? No greater nation has such statutes and righteous judgments. Right? So that's why the Lord watched. So the commandments were given. Right? And of course, the Ten Commandments were reviewed. I am the Lord your God in chapter 5. No other gods, verse 7. Right? Not to take the name of the Lord in vain, as the Lord lives. Ooh, that's how people used to do it. As the Lord lives. As the Lord. You can say nonsense out of that. Be careful. There's grave danger in saying things. Observe the Sabbath day, which we are going to deal with very, very shortly. And then, of course, the other one, 5, verse 16, 6, 17, 18, 19, 20, and then verse 21, you shall not covet. Right? And of course, in chapter 6, how wonderful, how do we respond to God? Hear, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But of course, 6, 4, and 5. Right? And then, of course, the warning against disobedience to the Lord. And chapter 7, remember, obedience to the Lord. You are a chosen people. The Lord chose you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. 7 and verse 6. Lessons, chapter 8. Remember, the Lord wanted you to learn this lesson most of all. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Chapter 8 and verse 3. And then, of course, looking back at the sin, chapter 9, chapter 10. Okay, now that's how it is. So the essence of it all in chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. This is 1 Samuel chapter 12. That's what Samuel told the people. You know, you should love the Lord, you should fear the Lord, you should serve him with all your heart. Now, that is a summary. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? Easy. All right. So as we take a look at this, and we see this very, very clearly. Okay? Be careful. Don't be deceived by your heart. Well, these are the things. Now, we come to chapter 12. Okay? Now, we come to chapter 12, and we come across a text that we're going to study tonight. Okay? These are the statutes, the judgments which the Lord, be careful to observe. Now, this is repeated again, chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. This is repeated. Why? First time you cannot hear, second time you better be careful, third time, hopefully something got in, right? Unfortunately, Jeremiah 6, you know, uncircumcised ears. Well, they should have circumcised their ears too, you know, cleaned it up. Right? But unfortunately, it was not. So chapter 12 is another reminder, constant reminders, right? So this is what we want to look at. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord, your God of your fathers, is giving you to possess. Repeat. Okay? Now, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess served other gods. High mountains, hills, green tree, you shall destroy the altars, break the sacred pillars, and so on and so forth. Okay, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Now, see, this is a subtlety. You see, they were worshiping the Lord with such things. So in the back of their mind, we're worshiping the Lord just with such things. That is the problem. I hope you understand the difficulty here. It's not that necessarily they began with worshiping idols. In their mind, I'm worshiping the Lord God with this in mind. So their focus is, to them, I'm worshiping the Lord. Right? It just happens to be under the green tree, in the mountains, in the hills, and so on and so forth. Well, that's how it is. Why? Now, this is something that you need to look at very, very carefully. And then this is stated. Okay? This is important. Now, the key word is in verse 4. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. You see? So this is how it works. So in the Roman Catholic system, they call this the Bible of the illiterate. You see, it sounds nice. How can they know God until they can see something that sort of helps them to remind them of God? Now, that's how it works, right? Now, you may think of it as it's a good idea. It sounds good. You know, it sounds even plausible as a teaching idea. But the danger is there. You may start with this idea, you might end up worshiping the very thing that is only supposed to represent God. One short step. Right? So we keep on thinking, how can they understand an invisible God? Impossible, right? See, you've already introduced to them. It's impossible. Don't. Trust God. They can understand better than you imagine. Don't come up with your own ideas. That is the problem. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. So they are still thinking, I am worshiping the Lord God just with such aids. Now you see this in India, very obviously. Right? Now, then after a while, they will tell you, these are only statues, don't worship them. With time, they come and place little flowers, little offerings, little food items, little incense. That's how it starts. It's nothing. Don't worry. Don't do this. And then that very thing that you don't want to do is the very thing you do. That is where the Lord in His wisdom warns against all these things. Right? In our own human wisdom, why not? It's good for them. It's a teaching tool. It's a teaching aid. It's helpful. People understand God better. Don't come up with their own ideas when it comes to God's ideas. Okay? Our ideas, human ideas, are not great. We just can't see far enough. We can't see deep enough. We can't see extensive enough. And we're going to end up with a lot of problems along the way, which is unfortunate, right? So this is warning ahead of time. It could be anything. And after a while, it becomes sacred, right? Years and years ago, Christian Book Room used to sell big portraits of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and people buy. Wow, first is so excited, very good. And after a while, the picture frame is broken, it is dusty, they want the place to be used by something else. You're stuck. What do I do with this picture of Jesus? Do they call up Pastor Charlie? Do you want them? No, I don't want them. But how do you get across to them? It's all right. Throw away. Throw away Jesus? Cannot. See? They're stuck already. They're trapped. The very thing that they say, wow, this makes me draw nearer to Jesus, is the very thing that now has become sacred to them. They can't let go. That becomes a problem.
See, the Lord forewarned all these things here. Now, that is absolutely important. All right? It could be anything. Just be careful. Just obey the Lord. You should keep this word in your heart. That's the best thing to do. Right? Let the Lord do His part. That is very difficult for you to understand. God understands. You just trust Him. Not for you to come in. I got a better idea, God. Why don't we just teach the people? Don't be fooled by this thing. God knows the human heart. It can turn bad anytime soon. Right? This is what happens. All right. Now, this is where it is. So, this become objects of worship. Okay? Now, this is objects. Sometimes they call them objects that aid worship. It will become objects of worship after a while, before you know it. And so it is. And so sometimes people make a little, they call it a grotto. Right? You can call it a little shrine. You know, don't call it a grotto. Sounds nicer. What is a grotto? Well, Lourdes over in France, the water. But then after a while, people begin to tell stories about it. And then before you know it, off you go. And it doesn't stop. So sometimes, from time to time, there's a wave of pictures. Majugorje, Yugoslavia. Poor area. Nobody goes there actually for tourism, except somebody said, I saw an apparition of Mary. Suddenly, 100,000 people descend there. Never mind if we don't have any place to sleep. Just a little place to rest at night will be fine. And they would travel all the way there. Who are the people? Some of my doctor friends who actually traveled there. And then they try and sell me the volumes of the pictures that they took. Not going to do it. But that's what it is. At least put in a clinic. And then they see all these things here. That's what it is. Some of them come back. And you know, they tell stories. You know, I saw this. And they get a garden. That's one. So that's one I know. Then some years ago, in KL. And they saw pictures of Jesus. See, I don't know, in a big, beautiful building there, suddenly a picture of Jesus appeared. Where did it come from? Nobody knows. Wow, take pictures. Suddenly, thousands of people look up. From time to time, these waves will come. The danger is very real. You say, but isn't this attracting people to Jesus? Don't try and give God ideas. He doesn't need your ideas. Okay, if God needs our ideas, He's in trouble. So don't do this. Express prohibition. Well, how else do you want to explain? Don't do this. Now we go on further. You shall not worship the Lord with such things. Right? So this is why. How come your church got nothing? Exactly. Right? We don't want any such thing because you don't want to do it. I mean, seriously. Right? So this is absolutely important. You shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. Out of all your tribes, to put His name there for His dwelling place. Now, this is the place. Right? So, first prescribe worship. Next, place of worship is just as important. Now, this is something that we need to consider. Right? So this is already prophesied, it is projected, and it is important. Why is this the place? Okay, now let's take a look at this. Okay, now the reasons are there. Out of all your tribes, to put His name there for His dwelling, why the Lord must choose a place? Because if you ask for a vote, everybody, you couldn't have picked a better place than Benjamin, Issachar, where is that? Nope. The Lord Himself will choose the place. Of course, later on we will know it is Zion. Right? But it wasn't there.
There were a number of places that were important. Mizpah was important. Why? Jacob and Laban made covenant there. You cannot cross. Mizpah is important. Nah. What else? Gilgal. Ah. Where he rolled away the reproach of Israel. Because there was there, they were, second time, they were circumcised. Right? In the days of Joshua. So Gilgal was important. Gilgal was important because Saul's kingship was renewed there. Right? So there we go. You see, so different places. Shechem also has its own place of honor. Jerusalem, not yet heard of. Because there is under the hands of the Jebusites. So not yet. Right? And then, of course, Shiloh, where Samuel was. The tabernacle was there, Shiloh. Right? The place where God would choose. Right now, not disclosed. But first, let's learn about worship properly. Where? Not yet known. Not yet disclosed, but there will be a place. Right? Now, let's look and study this very carefully, why this is important. Okay? Out of all your tribes, to put his name for his dwelling place. There you shall go. Remember, God is the one who chose the place. So no fights, no votes. This time of voting, nobody will ever get a full vote. Ephraim will choose. This is the other side of it. Manasseh, I want to. It will be God who will do the choosing. Of course, he has the right to choose, do his own choosing, right? Here is where I am to be worshipped. This is what it has to be. Well, that's how it works. Okay? First, place of worship. Second, he will put his name there. Right? Three, it will be his dwelling place. There you shall go. See, the significance of a place cannot be underestimated. Right? Otherwise, everyone will be doing whatever it is. Now watch this. Doing. Okay? In verse 8, we see this. The reason why this has to be done very clearly. You shall not at all do what you are doing. As we are all doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Now, this is not just a phrase in the book of Judges. It is first found here. So you can just imagine what it was like even in the days of Moses. The tabernacle was already there. Right? Now, take a look at Exodus again. You want to remember what the Lord said? The book of Exodus. Now let's take a look very carefully. Right? And okay? And we see this in 25. Okay? Speak to the children of Israel. Bring me an offering. Okay? This is the offering you shall take from them. Verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. There you go. So this is the creation of a sanctuary. Okay? A shelter. 25 and verse 8. And this is what we're doing here. Right? So here is the dwelling place, the place. It's Exodus 25 and verse 8. God will be there. God's name will be there. This will be a sanctuary. This is what it was meant to be. Right? So this is Exodus 25 backwards. Deuteronomy chapter 12. You shall not do as we are doing here today. What were they doing? Even where they are worshiping God in any old house they like. Right? They dare not to make any golden calf. Otherwise, you're going to eat, you'll be eating gold. Better not. Okay. Moses, very angry man. Don't cross him. Right? If you see his beard dancing, danger is there. All right, so you be careful of him.
So, but deep down, Moses knew, right?
That generation refused to have their children circumcised. Joshua, if you don't do it, I'm not leading the people. First, you must do it right. That's how we know we belong to the Lord. It was a very difficult thing to teach. Right? So you have a choice. Another 40 years? No. We're not going to do the same stupid thing. 40 years, once is enough. Though, come on, you got to be really thick. If you want to repeat the same thing all over again, you got to be kidding, right? So they were still doing, as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord is giving you. Not yet. So it will be the Lord. Verse 11, there will be the place where the Lord your God, the place, will make his name abide. There you shall bring the commandment where I command you all these offerings. Can you see this? Why? You need a centrality. If we don't have a centrality, you are going to see a diversification that will tear the nation apart. You need that one place. You need singularity. You need that focus. You need that oneness. Otherwise, it's going to go crazy, obviously. Right? I hope we are all on the same page here. See, where is that place? Now, it's not yet known, of course. You won't be able to see it because, all right, only later on, and we read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Okay, look at 2 Chronicles and chapter 7. And we read, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. Right? And so the Lord said this. Right? So this is in verse 12 downwards. I have heard your prayer and chosen this place. Right? I have chosen this place. This is Deuteronomy chapter 12. Can you see this? This place that we are talking about. And verse 12:5. Specifically, this is the place chosen. In other places, temporary. Shiloh, temporary. All the other places, temporary. House of Obed-Edom, temporary. This is the final place where God would put his name there. This will be his dwelling place. This is where it's going to be at. Okay? I have heard your prayer, chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Right? And so this is where we see this. Right? And seek my face, and then I will hear from heaven, and then my ears will be attentive to prayer made in this place. Right? So this is important for us to understand. So 2 Chronicles 7, this place here. Right? Verse 15. Verse 12. Again here, this place. Again and again. Right? So this is something that we want to appreciate. Where is God? Still in heaven. I will hear from heaven. So it's not a localized God. Where is your house? Your God. Your God is only in a small little house in Jerusalem. Don't get it wrong. Okay? Now watch this very carefully. Okay? This is, and I will hear from heaven. Right? 2:7, verse 14. Heaven is still the place where God domiciles. His house,
represents that one. Do you want to go to America without paying for the expense? How? You step into American embassy. You are in America. Sure. That's how it works. Right? Cannot policemen going? You cannot. This is now what the embassy grounds is America. But America is not over in the Bukit Timah area around there, opposite Glen Eagles. No. It's America is still up in the north somewhere. Right? But here, the American presence is still here. You see the relationship? This place I have chosen. My name will be there. This will be my sanctuary. This will be my dwelling place. But where am I? Where's God? I can't see God. Don't be silly. He is not there. He is there. How can he be there and not there? Yes. That is the profundity of it all. You see, things must be so profound you can't really understand it. If you can understand it, how big is God when you can fully understand everything? You can't. That's the best part. You can't. Then you look at it and say, okay, I have this, a bit of this, a bit of this, a bit of that. Put together, whoops. Lot more things than you imagine. Lots of things to consider. Right? Now, let's take a look a little bit about the worship that we have there. And yeah, that's pretty amazing. Let's take a look. Right? Chapter 12. Now, we have all kinds of offering. Okay? King Saul didn't know very much about offering. He should have read Deuteronomy. Then he would have understood. So many offerings. When he anyhow mix up that mind, anything will do. Not correct. Chapter 12. Out of your treasure, and there you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, vowed offerings, free will offerings, firstborn of your herds and flocks. Now you better know all your offering system. Most of us, offering, just offering. See, many of us are guilty of giving, not classified here, but understand it, thoughtless offering. Right? We don't plan. We should plan that offering. I feel like, you know, many people burn offering, toast burn, this burn offering. No, it's not. Unfortunately, it's all planned. Everything you can even distinguish. Now, how many of these things do we actually know? Right? One day, King Saul felt that Philistines are going to attack him. Samuel was not there. He said, I'd better give offering. So he gave burnt offering and peace offering. Because peace offering was what Samuel offered when his kingdom was renewed there. First, he was there, presented to the people. Some people didn't like him. Some people liked him. And there was a bit of a rift. Okay, peace offering must be offered, obviously, so that there must be oneness, unified there. Right? Now, that peace offering is where they also have fellowship together. And he offered peace offering when the Philistines are going to attack him and his nation. You haven't the foggiest idea what you are doing. What are you doing? Well, I felt compelled. See, that's the problem. I do it, I feel compelled, I better give. Don't plan that giving. Understand that worship. Offering and worship go together. Plan it well. Right? Of course, we don't have burnt offering, we don't have peace offering, we don't have heave offering. You know what a heave offering is? Literally, they heave it to the Lord. Now,
So nowadays they call it in Singapore, call it wave offering, saying to the Lord, waving, hi God. I mean, are you serious? That is a clap offering. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. What are we doing? I am serious. They actually do things like that. What are you thinking about? How is this? Remember, there is worship involved here. Offering is our expression of how we understand God, how we are indebted to God, how we ought to please God, how we ought to honor God. That is how we plan the offering. So every year, you have to renew. Okay, now, this is what I gave this year. Okay, now let's review. Do I increase? Do I retain? What do I do? You think about it, you plan it. Right? So we don't have full equivalent. Right? We don't have full equivalent. But there are some things which ought to be considered. Even if we don't talk about peace offering, burnt offering today. Remember, all the offerings are covered by the Lord Jesus Christ in one offering, Himself. Right? But there are some offerings which must be considered. For example, a vowed offering. Did you make a vow? Now, are you keeping that vow? See, you've got to think of it. So be careful. I vow to do this all my life. As long as I live, I shall do this. I shall give. And then suddenly you can't. Your life will be shorter. No? So please don't do silly things like that. What is a vowed offering? It is what you have vowed. Remember, whatever you have vowed, you must make sure you pay that vow. God has no time for fools. Okay? He has no regard for people who, I made a mistake. Don't make that mistake. You put in the cashier's order, you go to the bank, you write down there, I made a mistake. I added one more zero. The bank, I cashed it already. Hey, why did you cash it? Here's what you wrote. I only meant to give 500. I put another zero. Who asked you? Too bad. It's gone. Now, I hope you understand this. See, when we make a vow to God, it must be remembered. You got to keep that. That is worship. You dishonor yourself and God and worship if you don't even understand what you're doing. So don't do this vow. If you can't, God is not expecting you to give what you can't. If $5 is all you can afford, $5 be it. Don't write there 500 when you cannot give 5. Don't. God, you're very good. Wow, you give 500. Don't do that. Now this is going to make a mockery of things. Right? Okay? Now, then your free will offerings. Different. Free will. You don't have to. Yeah, but I want to. Sure. Now, you see that again? It's all these are playing. You don't have to, but I want to. Yeah, it's free will offering. Thank God that we can give. And this is important for us to know. Okay? And then the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Okay? Now, that is a very, very Old Testament thing. Very Jewish thing. Sometimes in India, people tell me, Pastor, I dedicated my firstborn to serve God. You want to take him now? No, thank you. This is your firstborn. No, thank you. See, many people make vows like that. They're useless things because they are applying something which is not there. Right? The second child is smarter than the first one. The first one, a bit dumb. You want to take him and serve the Lord? No, thank you. Why we always give, unfortunately, that which is not good to the Lord. Don't do that because this is really wrong. It's really, really sinful. Okay? And there you shall eat before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice in all which you have put your hand, you and your household in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You know, there should be joy in our worship. By all means, enjoy the fellowship lunch on Sundays and the non-fellowship lunch on Sunday, this Sunday. You see, if only we would just enjoy the worship, whether it is with or without. Oh, today worship not so good because no lunch. Kick. What are you saying? Right? So I got to worship the Lord in lunch. What, you got to go long queue. Stop. Don't think long queue. Think worship and the joy that should be there. But today I didn't like it very much. Last week one better. How about next week? Worship first. Fellowship secondary. If it's there, great. If it's not there, still give thanks. Right? Every Sunday I give thanks, although I don't have lunch. That's why Paul, those who give thanks to God for what he does not eat, right? Very, 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 very much Romans teaching. So important. It's perfectly fine to give thanks for that which we don't partake of. Well, the Lord blesses and he sanctifies it. There you shall eat before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice. You see? So the giving, the sacrifices, let there be joy. And then you write, you put in a check, and then you watch the bank going away in your heart, sad, you know. Why? Well, when you read 2 Corinthians 9 later on, where Paul talks about giving, the principles of giving, you will begin to understand and appreciate the joy of giving. It is something that can be learned. We learn how to give with joy. But the moment you give, regretting, grieving, the word grieving is there. Feel very sad, but I had to give. Then don't give. You cannot do it with joy, don't do it. There it is. With joy. And it must be. And thank God for the joy that he gives to us. Right? Now, second time's repeated. When you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land, see, steps. First, cross the land. Cross the Jordan. Two, dwell in the land which the Lord is giving you to inherit. Okay? He's giving you rest from all your enemies round about, so you dwell in safety. And when then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Now, twice it is mentioned in the same chapter. Right? Remember, you every time you worship, you thank God for safety in the land. Thank God for what he has given to us as an inheritance. See, all of us who are members of Bethany, this is our inheritance. Do you know how much Bethany is worth right now? Try not to plan to sell it. This land alone is worth over $20 million today. We are sitting on a gold mine. So every Sunday, oh, thank God, you're going to feel like a millionaire? Right here you are. This is what the Lord has promised. You cross the Jordan and you come into the land. You should be rejoicing. Wow. Thank God. This is a far cry from 20 Jalan Lakum and 40 Jalan Bangau. Far, far cry. This is wonderful. Thank God. Right? So much to thank God for. And rejoicing should be there within our heart. No mistaking it. And this is something that we don't want to take for granted. Okay? There we go. Then you shall bring in all the offerings. Okay, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heap offerings of your hand, and your choice offerings, which you vow to the Lord. Now, explanation of vow offering. Choice offering. What is your choice offering? There's something you really want to give with all your heart. I really want to do this. And it's done. You see, obviously, it's something you can choose. It is something you vow, something that means a lot to you, and you want to do it. I think that is absolutely important for us. And then your tithes and everything else. and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons, your daughters, male, female servants, the Levite who is there. Okay? Now, this is twice mentioned. Offering twice mentioned. Now, look at the context. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place the Lord chooses. Again, it is mentioned. Okay, you shall do as I command you. Ah, Jerusalem, so far away. Let's make an altar here. Okay, God, I give it. Hello? You just disobeyed. You do whatever you like. Right? That's what was happening even in the tabernacle. Remember, please do not imagine it's a very small place. It's a very large place. Right? How many steps I need to walk there? Wow, 10,000 steps. Very long. Just 2,000 steps, enough. Lord, stop it. See, they were doing whatever they like. As long as I face myself towards tabernacle, enough. Okay, 1, 2, 3, enough already. You are not going to do whatever you like. So what if it's very far away? That will show your faith, your love, your commitment, and everything else. Make the trip. Take the trouble. Oh, so troublesome. I wish it's so easy. You know, it's a strange thing. Even those who live nearby come late. What's wrong with that? It's not distance. It's a bad habit. Get down, get up a bit earlier. Wow, so many steps. Well, do it conveniently. What do you want? You want a wash hand in your office? What do you want? Take the trouble. Walk to the restroom. Walk back. It will help you count number of steps. Why can't we take that trouble? See? You see? Unfortunately, everybody wants to do what we call convenient Christianity. No convenience. Consistent. Not convenient. Why so far away? Why must we have Sunday school at 8:30? How about 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock? Why 9 o'clock? It should be 10. Then after that, 10:45 finish. Then we have worship at 11. Then 11:45 finish. Lunchtime and go home. See, everybody wants convenience. Not going to happen. You see the whole place? So twice mentioned. Place, obviously. You know this almost repeats itself in the same chapter. This is for emphasis. Place. Obvious. Worship. Offerings, types of offering, distinguish. We better know why we give, what we give, what do we give. Plan that offering. That's why the Lord said, don't come to my house empty-handed. You see, you didn't think about it. You didn't plan. No, when I was younger, I learned this the hard way. Right? I forgot to bring an offering. Sometimes that happens. So I have a backup plan. So otherwise, you know, you're going to be in trouble. So I didn't have a backup plan last time. I just remember. And to your horror, you forgot. And inside your wallet, there's a $100 note and a $2 note. You didn't plan to give $100. You didn't plan to give $2 either. You cannot take $100, give half. Next week I give the other. You cannot do that. You insult the Lord and yourself. Something will happen. So what do you do? Lord, my first prayer, Lord, I'm so sorry. Okay? Now, still with joy, you give. But not the $2. $2, give with joy. Nope. You can't do that. You cannot dishonor the Lord.
I mean, a child can give $2 and say, this is wonderful. But ask yourself, right? This is your salary. And you give $2. You got face to do that? No? I mean, can you even think about it? Hello? Are you serious? Worse, coins. Why? You see, what we give, how we give, reflects who we are and how we regard God. Right? I mean, you watch a person, you know, the person wears a pair of shoes, Ferragamo. Right? Gives $2. The shoes will malfunction one of these days. What's wrong with us? Right? Wears Rolex one. 50 cent drop in. You dare to wear the Rolex with 50 cents and your neighbor, wow, very big giver. Where do you hide your face? I better leave church immediately. Better not have lunch. The person who I sat next to may ask you, how do you understand Deuteronomy 12? How can we do that? How can we? It's unthinkable, literally. So the Lord distinguished. Okay, you can choose your offering. You didn't vow, it's okay. Right? You don't have anything to give. Okay, we understand that. There's something that we can give towards. A tithe, maybe. But remember, a tithe is not the only offering, you know. So you giving a tithe is what you owe, no? So if you don't even give a tithe, you owe big time. And most of us owe the Lord. You know, good thing the Lord doesn't have a collection service. Owe money, pay money. You got a problem. Okay, owe money. No prayers answered. Well, then you are going to be in serious trouble. But God is very gracious, forbearance with us. He made all grace abound toward us. He put up with our sinfulness, our weaknesses. But you see, this is arranged such a way that there is something for someone to give. It must be according to how we... This is part of our worship, right? God must be there. I will put my name there. Obviously, put my name there. Wow, I mean, it's very, very important. So you put it on there and you see this is a big, big name there. How it is, right? So in the early days, it was Robinson's. Those who cannot go to Robinson's, don't go Robinson's. Right? That's how it works. But you go to Robinson, nowadays nobody cares. But in the early days, oh, you really have to be nicely dressed just to step in because the people look at you. They wear jacket and coat to look at you. And suddenly you feel very small. Excuse me, where's the toilet? You dare not to go into shop because it is a really expensive place, unfortunately. See? So a lot of people, okay, if I don't can go cost storage, I can at least go to Cheng Siong or something like that. And that's what it is. Right? I mean, that's how it works, unfortunately. Right? So that's something that we want to think about very carefully. So the same thing. We have to ask ourselves, how do we give to the Lord? Right? How do we worship the Lord? Everything must be as He has prescribed, as He has taught, as we understand, as our faith enables us, as our relationship with God allows us to do it. Let me do this. I want to do it. Right? But remember, with joy, you know, you give grudgingly, no use. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, right? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Well, that's what it is. This does not say the Lord loves a cheerful person. Don't change the text. I'm very cheerful. The Lord loves me. No. Cheerful giver. You giver yet? Yeah. Unfortunately, well, this is something that we need to understand and appreciate why this is important.
Okay? Take heed, you do not offer in every place that you see. Remember, just because the word burnt offering is here, okay, I don't give my burnt offering here, I give my heave offering here. No. That's not what it means. The idea of the burnt offering stands for all the other. Otherwise, you could repeat three times. Repeat twice enough. First time, all the offerings given. Second time, all the offerings stated as well. Slightly different words. The third time, burnt offering is enough to cover everything else. That's how they read Old Testament. Okay, but the Lord says, didn't say where, only the place here, only burnt offerings. All the rest are not counted. Nope. It represents everything else. Right? The burnt offering is basically a thanksgiving offering. That's what it is. A peace offering is basically one where is everybody in fellowship with each other. Okay? Of course, you didn't put that sin offering. That one is such a necessity. It's not if this is one of those things you can choose to do. The sin offering, or no choice, you have to. It's not even put here. This is all that you want to do. Right? So you want to look at all these things here. And you look at, yes, this is a free will offering. I didn't have to, but I want to. This is what it is. Thank God, I want to do this. This is absolutely important. Okay? So this is something that we want to thank God. We remember the Lord and all that. Okay? But second page, just very quickly. Okay? Improper worship versus chosen place of worship. Right? So remind us very, very clearly. Don't anyhow worship in any every place you see. Only in the prescribed place and express commandment. Okay? And this is where it is to remember the Levites in 12 and verse 12. Okay? Remember the Levites. This is the Lord's mindful. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God. Okay? And the Levites. Remember, God has given him no portion or inheritance. Remember the Levite. This will come back again and again. Remember the Levite. Those who serve the Lord. No, that's what it is. Okay? So this is important for us to understand this whole idea of a place of worship, a prescribed place of worship, worship and offering. How do we do it with joy? Now, this is absolutely important. So it must always be with a sense of joy that we understand and appreciate. Okay? All right, any questions you want to raise up? Okay, so, you know, we all plan for Chinese New Year to give to this, to give our children, to give our grandchildren. We all plan. Sure we do. We go even get new money. Right? And they will always ask you during these last few days, do you ask you new money? You didn't sign up for it. No, nothing for you. You want, you can wait. He's going to wait for hours. But your sister, you ask her ahead of time, here you are, all ready for you. See, we all take the trouble. You new money? Nah. See, we plan for these things here. Even new money. You have no idea how many hundreds of thousands going into new money. That's why they're asking you, but it's no need to new money. Oh, money is money. Oh, no, it must be new money. And people take that trouble. New money. Why can't we worship the Lord God with this kind of approach? Why not? Why don't we plan for this? Why can't we give sacrificially? Why, if we don't give stingily to our children, to our grandchildren, why do we calculate to the last dollar? Right? $200.28. Why? 28 cents. I really can't understand. Children, maybe they don't have enough. I understand. But write a check for 28 cents, please, sir. Maybe you need help. We'll be cheap. We'll pass the head around and help you. Don't do this. You dishonor the Lord and the understanding of worship. That's not how it should be. And yet, that's how people practice a tithe. That's not the point. The tithe is not a tenth of the exact thing here. Okay? So I must count how many petals there are. Take one. One out of ten. You tithe the mint and the rue. That's exactly how the Jews calculated the thing. All right. How many mint plants are there? How many leaves? This is part of my offering. He want to take one. Take one. And then I give. So there was a famous story of a Scottish man. And he noted that the pastor was there. Okay. But the deacon was there to collect the offering. Okay. Then he says, told the deacon, I didn't have a change. This is for the next 10 Sundays. The deacon noted, okay, Scottish man, next 10 Sundays. Now, on the 11th Sunday, he tried to pull a fast one, you know. This is the 10th Sunday. And the Scottish deacon say, what, you think you're doing one counting? I've been counting too. This is the 11th Sunday. Why do we do things like that? Don't do this. Somebody from Scotland sent me a postcard one day. And it was a postcard with a Scottish man having a, you know, plaster on his head. What happened? You see, he bent down to pick 1 cent. So fast, he hit his head on the ground, and so you 1 cent and 1 penny, he just pick it up. What is wrong with us? Of course, these are all caricatures, they're not necessarily true, but you know, it gives us an idea of what it is. Unfortunately, when it comes to worship, we all enjoy the singing part, we enjoy the fellowship part, we enjoy the food part of it all, but when it comes to offering, I could have buy this dress, cost $200. Could have buy that scarf, cost $50. And not much left. You know. Only $10 left. Split it up into 4 weeks. $2, $2, $2, $2. And then the $2, just in case there's a fifth week. Hey, something seriously wrong with our heart, with our mind, with our faith. Something seriously wrong. Let's not do it. Let there be joy as we plan our love gift for the Lord. This is our worship. How wonderful the Lord has led us, saved thus far. Our heart should be rejoicing. Thank God for this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for worship. We thank you that every Sunday we can come to this beautiful house of yours and here offer you worship. Teach us how to offer the worship that will please you. One of joy, one of love, one of giving meaningfully. Teach us how to do this with faith, with understanding. We ask you to bless us as we take time to celebrate time together with the family during this Chinese New Year. We ask you to lead and to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, and if I don't see you, have a happy New Year. Okay? Just be careful how much you eat.